Greetings in the name of the Lord. In this long series of studies, we are studying from the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and today we're going to continue that study. We've just barely begun in this book because I took a long time, in fact several lessons, to introduce you to the situation there in Macedonia. The Thessalonians were part of that northern region of the Roman Empire on the eastern side of the Roman Empire, and they were part of that northern region which had not been vitally affected by the Greek culture. In other words, the Greek culture had corrupted many of the Corinthian believers because they were following it. They were proud of it. They adhered to it with all their hearts, and they were unwilling to give it up when they became Christians. And so this did not really affect the believers in the north. And so it was easier for them to believe and to follow the Lord simply because they had no worldly philosophy they were holding on to. This, of course, was a problem in the Corinthian church. They had the worldly philosophy, and it was difficult to give it up. So we have been studying in the first chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we noted in the previous lesson the fact that a good bit of this chapter is spent just in commending these believers. This is one of the longest periods of commendation that Paul has in his epistles, one of the longest sections of commendation. We find this, of course, in Philippians, where in chapter 4 and some in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is commending the Philippians. But this is a long, sustained passage of Scripture, commending the way these Thessalonians had believed in the Lord, the way they had followed the Lord, their stand for the Lord against persecution, and the testimony and the example they were to other people, even in other regions. I want to read in this lesson just a couple of the verses as we finish chapter 1. I want to begin with verse 8 of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now I want to continue this little section of commendation, and I want to continue this noting the testimony and the example that these people had been. Now, in this verse, verse 9, Paul goes back to the salvation itself, to their salvation experience itself. And what he's teaching here is very, very important. Now, before they were saved, these people were idol worshipers. In other words, they belonged to the family of Satan. They worked with Satan's people. They walked in his sins. But especially, they were idol worshipers. They were completely devoted to the worship of idols. And many people in the world today have this kind of lifestyle. In other words, they are completely devoted to pagan gods and to pagan idols. And it's very difficult for them to trust the Lord and to turn from these idols when they trust the Lord. It's very difficult for them. And one of the things that he commends in these Thessalonian believers is a fact that when they came to the Lord, immediately they turned their backs on their previous life. How important this is in the Christian life, that when we come to the Lord Jesus, we recognize we are no longer members of the family of Satan. We no longer belong to his people. We no longer are followers of his sins. Now, many of you who trusted the Lord as your Savior may not have been idol worshipers, but in some form you were attached to the things of Satan. You were attached to the world, in other words. Your whole attention was on that. And how important it is in our lives today that we take the same stand for the Lord. And if you've never taken this stand, you need to take it. That is to decide in your heart you're going to turn your back upon your previous life. You're not going to live that life anymore. That life now has no more part in you. And now you belong to the Lord Jesus. You're a member of his family. You belong to him as far as love and loyalty is concerned. And so you determine in your heart, I don't belong to the family of Satan anymore, and now I'm going to pursue righteousness. I'm going to devote my life to the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to see what Jesus could do through my life. And so the testimony of these people in verse 9 is that they turned completely away from the idols. In other words, they turned their backs on everything they had stood for before. The idols, of course, represent their previous life, the previous sins they committed, the previous objects of their worship and all. And so they completely turned their backs on these things and turned to the Lord Jesus. Now, this is the idea of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 is dealing with the problem of sin, but especially of the things of the devil. And so as you study verses 1 to 14 of Romans chapter 6, you're going to see the same emphasis that when we become Christians, we're not part of that old world anymore. In other words, we don't continue to live in sin simply to receive more of the grace of God. That goes back to chapter 5, verse 20. We don't live in sin anymore. But not only that, we're no longer slaves of sin. Now we're slaves of righteousness. This word slave is used again and again as you study verses 15 to 23 of Romans chapter 6. So this emphasis is throughout the Word of God. When I truly trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior, something dramatic happens in my life. I no longer belong to the old world. I turn my back on it. And now I'm devoted to the Lord Jesus and to following righteousness, living holy, pure lives before God. Now, this is not a burden that God lays upon us. This, rather, is a responsibility, it is true, but it's a blessing from God to realize now that I don't belong anymore to that old family of Satan. It's a blessing from God to realize that now God is working in my life. He's bestowing His favor and blessing upon me in every possible way. In other words, I don't need that old life anymore. So approach this in the proper way. If you're a high school student, for instance, if you're a college student, if you're a young adult or an older adult, approach this in the same way. You're not taking this on simply as a burden from God. You're taking it on as a glorious privilege, the privilege of belonging to Him and now following Him and having His blessing and favor in your lives. So these people now have taken a stand for God. And we see that they're not only completely serving Him, but now they're also waiting for the coming of the Lord from heaven. This is their hope. Their hope is not only in eternal life, but their hope also is in the coming of the Lord from heaven. Now, the Lord has not yet come. In their day, they were expecting Him to come. We're going to study this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. But they were expecting the Lord to come at any time. And we expect Him in the same way. I recognize even as I make this broadcast, the Lord Jesus could come even before the broadcast is complete. Or He could come today, or He could come next week, or next month, or next year. So we wait for Him. So these people who now believed in the Lord Jesus Christ now were following Him with all their hearts. And they loved Him with all their hearts, and they were determined that they were going to follow Him completely. So this completes the commendation of them. Now we're going to notice again in chapter 2, after Paul's own testimony, that again he comes back to commendation of these believers. What a wonderful thing is when God inspires Paul to write this epistle, that God Himself is speaking in commendation of these people. How wonderful it would be if God could say the same of each of us today, that we may sometimes fail, we may sometimes not always obey His will, but we have tender hearts before Him, our hearts are devoted to Him, and God Himself approves of us and accepts us. In other words, as true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, may this be the testimony of each of us. Now, in chapter 2, and we want to begin this in the rest of this lesson, but in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul now is going to give his own testimony before them. We had seen this testimony very, very briefly in verse 5, where he says, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only," this is chapter 1 now, verse 5, "but also in power and the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. So he had given a very brief testimony in chapter 1. But now he extensively goes into his testimony before them. And I want to read several verses from chapter 2 now, beginning with verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. For even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. I want to stop right there. Paul's testimony concerning his own manner of life among them will continue, clear down to verse 12. But I want to stop our reading right there. Now, a couple of things I want to note. First of all, Paul is not simply boasting. We notice this also in 2 Corinthians, where Paul is continually testifying concerning his manner of life among the Corinthians. He's not simply boasting here, and we don't want to take it as boasting. He's simply saying, this is a kind of testimony I have tried to maintain throughout my ministry for God, throughout my Christian life, from the time I was saved. This is a kind of testimony I've tried to maintain. And I exhibited this testimony before you so that no one would criticize me at all. No one would have reason to reject the gospel because of some failure in my life. Now, none of us are perfect. We recognize this. Paul was not perfect. I'm sure Paul would admit that he was not a perfect man. Nevertheless, he consistently followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he failed, just like ourselves, he would make it right with God and go on consistently following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is to be the testimony of our lives as well. And that is that without boasting, we maintain an example and an influence upon others, example before others and an influence upon their lives, simply because we're living. And how does this apply? Some of us have family members who are not saved. Some of you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior. But in your family, you have family members who are not saved. They could be fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, whoever they might be. Now, these people are especially watching your life. It is, of course, important that you give testimony to them concerning your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But especially, they're watching the manner of your life. And your manner of your life must be commendable. In other words, it must be approved by God. It must be blessed by God so that you show them a true spirit of love for them, of love for the Lord, of devotion to the Lord and everything. This is a thing that especially is going to impress their lives. So as we look at Paul's testimony, we see the purity and the blamelessness of his testimony and the example that he's left behind in very, very important. And this is very important to Paul. It's important to him that whenever he goes to a certain place, he leaves behind the right kind of a testimony. So we see this, of course, as I've mentioned, in many of his epistles, such as 2 Corinthians and Philippians. Even though some, like the Corinthians, were filled with bitterness and criticism of him, Paul could prove that this attitude of theirs was without justification. He actually conducted himself in a godly and blameless way while with them. Now, let me emphasize this point. People will not always admit that our lives are what they should be. Some people say, well, I can't belong to Jesus or I can't join the church because there are too many hypocrites there. Of course, people like that sometimes are the greatest hypocrites of all. People who say such things are the greatest hypocrites of all. Because many of God's people are living for the Lord. It's true, sometimes God's people will fail, but many of them are living for the Lord. And what I'm trying to emphasize is this. People will always make accusations against us as Christians. They perhaps resent the fact that we've left our former religious ways, perhaps with idol worship and other things. They resent this fact. They resent the manner of our lives. And so, unfairly, sometimes they will criticize us. But let it be without solid basis. Let their criticism be without any foundations. so that before God and before men, you can say, this is the kind of life I am living, and I'm living it to the glory of God. So Paul could prove that this attitude of theirs was without justification, that he actually conducted himself in a godly and blameless way while with them. He could say this especially to the Corinthians, defending himself. In other words, the idea is this not really true? What you're saying against me is false. He said, I have truly lived for the Lord Jesus. Now, let's just take verse 1, and then we're going to have to close this lesson. First of all, in verse 1, he says, his coming to them and the manner of his coming to them was not in vain. In other words, he had come there to reap a harvest for God. He'd come there to live a godly life before them so that people would be attracted to the Lord Jesus. And he was there to present the gospel to them, the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus. Before, their lives had been devoted to idol worship, to paganism. They were completely devoted to these things. But his life so impressed them that they turned away from their idol worship, they turned away from their paganism, and they turned to the Lord Jesus, and they followed him with all their hearts. So this means, his testimony means, that his testimony has a valuable purpose, and it brought forth valid spiritual results. This is what we pray for today. There's when we come to our relatives, when we come to our neighbors, when we come to our workmates, to our schoolmates, whoever they might be, when we come to these people and we're living the life of Jesus before them, we're interested in valid and true spiritual results. And there's as a result of our testimony before them and, of course, the witness of the gospel with it. So these results from Paul's own life are evident in the spirituality of the church. In other words, the results brought forth true spirituality in that church. They earnestly desired, from Paul's own example, that they too would be so devoted to the Lord. They too would be so committed to following the Lord and abandoning their former practices and all. So that's the kind of testimony that we want to have. The kind of testimony that encourages people to go all the way with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe, as I close this lesson, I believe in God using our testimony and our example. And may God help us that it's a proper one, that it's one that's truly honoring to the Lord and glorifying to Him, so that it will have such an impact. May the Lord help us, each one.